الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعيذنا من شرور أنفسنا. The end of the kitab of Mishkat al-Masabih, which has been given by Almighty Allah unique acceptance in the Islamic world. It was a collection of a person or a group of people of a unique level of ikhlas. So much of love there was between the teacher and the student, that on the completion of the student, the teacher takes it upon himself to even make the sharah of the kitab, explanation of the kitab. On the basis of that level of ikhlas, sincerity, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala was going to bless, that this book was not going to be read only by a small part of people who were familiar with the one compiling, but it would become am and tam, that a time would come that people would not even know who compiled the kitab. But they would find in the madrasas they had no option except to take the kitab in. In the era of Imam Malik rahimullah, someone said to him that, "I find you writing, but many other people are also writing. So much of effort you are making, who will ever read?" Imam Malik rahimullah said, "Many people write, but that with which the Zat of Almighty Allah is intended, only that will remain. Everything else will be forgotten." Years passed and the Muwatta still remains, the Muwatta of Imam Malik rahimullah. And many other kitabs that were written at that time, they were written and there was a level, but that level of ikhlas that he had when he compiled his, nobody else could match. This kitab which we have in front of us, the kitab of Riyadu Salihin, the kitab of Mishkatul Masabih, to do justice to the completion of so many, we are of such a level that doing justice to anything will never take place. So a few words or thoughts which have come to mind now as I entered, I will make mention of that. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala accept it as a completion of these very unique kitabs. There is something called Bara'atul Istihlal, which means that the beginning was so unique, like how they thought of the beginning. So many of the kitabs of ahadith would start, the beginning would be the chapter of sincerity, ikhlas. But more it would be this point, innamal a'malu bin niyat, where many would have explained that all of them looked at the beginning and they said, "See, all your actions will be based on your intention." And that is why they brought this innamal a'malu bin niyat, that remember, actions are based on intention. That is why they brought it at the beginning of every kitab. Others would say, no, even look more deeper. And you would find that forget the issue of sincerity. That word in the hadith was what really grabbed the eye. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Niyat is from the word nawat. Our translation is actions are based on their intention. But that word intention is actually that word niyat. What's your niyah? It comes from the word nawat. Nawat means a seed. To get anything in the world, you have to first plant a seed and then you're going to get results. So what a unique beginning the kitabs always had. That they started with, if there's no seed, you're not going to get anything after this. That first hadith was to say, this is the seed. And now according to the seed, what a tree is going to come out, it's going to depend on how much of effort is made after the planting of the seed. But the seed has to be planted. Because of which the beginning day of madrasa, your first day, that was your seed. There are many other mothers in the world who will also be sitting in the khatam. And everyone will say, I wish that my child can also one day be a flag bearer of Islam, be a muallim, muallima. So that is an intention which is very unique. But when you take the word nawat, seed, the seed only starts giving out a result when the seed is planted in the ground. As long as that effort on the seed is not made, which means that an intention without an effort, you can count it like no intention. But if that intention is the seed in the ground, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimullah, his daughter, Mufti Taqi wrote this, his daughter said that, make dua, I want to go for Hajj. Hazrat Mufti Shab asked her, that are you really sincere in your intention? She said, who won't be sincere? So he said, so what effort have you made so far? She then explained to her father that her condition, Mali, financial condition was not so strong. Her husband was not so wealthy. So there's not much effort that she can make. He just said to her, then you are not sincere in your intention. He said, my daughter, Allah does not look at how much you take out. Allah is looking at, are you taking out? That's all he said. He said, I want you to take out something. He said, can you take out a few rupees? Put it in an envelope. That is the sign of sincerity of intention. What he was explaining is, you got the seeds, but you're not putting it in the ground. There will be that mother and father who will be at every jalsa, and they will say, I wish my son. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahimullah says, there was that woman who always said, Allah, let me die. Let me die in your land. Let me die in your land. So that was an intention. But was she sincere in the intention? When the time for her to go for Hajj came, now she remembered, oh, so many years I'm making this dua, I must die. Suddenly she changed the dua. That Allah, if I have to die, let it not be this year in Hajj. Meaning in the future if I go one day. He said, that was never sincerity. Sometimes we also on the tongue, we have very big thoughts. It must happen like this, it must happen like this. And when the thing comes in front, then we find we are the first who say that, no, no, not now. Which Almighty Allah spoke to a group of people who said, if the battle takes place, then I will go in the front, I will do this. Then Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala said, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That why are you saying things when the time comes where I give you the opportunity, you're not ready? Why I am mentioning this is what we're going to mention now in this last chapter. Speaking about this intention and how sincere are we now to drop that seed. And we have to become ready for dropping that seed. That error has now come. When that seed will drop, a unique tree will come out. And the tree can go very, very high, but it needs that seed to be dropped. The beginning of this kitab started, you reached completion today. Because it was not only a mere intention, but with the intention there was an action. What was the action? It was not easy, but you had to enroll in the madrasa. As soon as you entered the madrasa, your niyyah, your seed was planted. After the seed is planted, there'll always be someone who's going to water that seed. The rains will water it. The gardener will water it. In the madrasa, there will be teacher after teacher. The seed doesn't have to worry about what's happening above the ground. But if the seed is not ready to go in the ground, that seed will remain on the tabletop for years. But you will never see something else created. Your entering in the madrasa was when you allowed that seed to be planted. Today you are seeing the fruits of the tree. As you will go further in life, to the ones who already completed, to the ones who want to start, to the ones who want their children to be the flag bearers of Islam, to the ones who themselves want to lift up the flag, everyone has this desire. But there will have to be an effort in planting the seed. We will now speak of the final chapter, which is called Husnul Ikhtitam. In Riyadu Salihin, the final chapter, both started with, you have to plant the seed. In Riyadu Salihin, the final chapter that the author's mind went to, which was known as a beautiful ending, was the chapter of Jannah. And what Allah has created for the believers of the coolness of the eyes. Some would explain that what a beautiful ending, meaning if you do all what is mentioned in Riyadu Salihin, you will one day land up in Jannah and you will find the promises of Allah. Others will explain, no. The end of the kitab was to say that whatever was mentioned in this whole kitab, do this, do this, do this. If you want to make it easy, you will have to paint the picture of Jannah in your mind. And when that picture is painted, practicing on the entire kitab will not only become easy, it will be most enjoyable. When Masjid al-Aqsa fell, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah delivered a discourse, most likely in Damascus. In that discourse, he explained where the ummah is at the moment and what the ummah needs to get, so that the flight, the aeroplane of Islam can go back in the sky. In that discourse, from the 3 points that he mentioned, the most important was, he said, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to a nation which was very, very, very far from being ready to sacrifice their cultural preferences and pride. They used to fight for years and years because of their pride. Now they had to learn how to break that pride. They could never allow a man from another village to be a leader. Now they had to allow a man from another city to be leader. They had to give preference to people who were not of theirs. They had to break pride where the Arab's pride was known. Abu Jahl was going to die. He said, I'll die, but my nose must be up. Abu Talib, he said, I have no problem at all with this. I have no problem at all with your religion, oh my nephew. He said, but I can never allow my behind to be higher than my nose. They had a certain level of pride. What came to them that broke that pride? It brought them to such a level that they were ready to sacrifice everything. Their name would not be remembered in the world, it meant nothing. They would spend, the left hand would not know what the right hand was getting, giving. Everything changed. He said he painted in front of them such a beautiful picture of Jannah. And he mentioned it so many times that until they began feeling between me and Jannah, there is nothing except if I stretch my hand out, I'll be able to grab that branch. He said at that moment every Sahabi would say, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is stopping me from Jannah? He said he would then say to them, there's only one bridge you have to cross. This is known as the bridge of death. Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi was a unique man. How he explained this? He said that which was the most bitter on the tongues of humanity, but with this unique teaching of Nubuwa became the most sweet on the tongues of Sahaba. What was death, which was something that no one else loved, Amar, that which is the most bitter became for them Ahla, the most sweet. For them to jump on the bridge of death became, where the Sahabi said, if I have to still wait to complete these few dates in my hand and then find Jannah, he said, wah, it's too long. He said, I haven't got time to eat anymore. He drops the dates. He said, they began running towards death. When that became their level, everything else, because death is the most difficult, everything else became easy. Sacrifice of your own pride, to sacrifice little of your wealth, to see somebody else getting where the world says that I got too much of jealousy, I got too much of hatred, I got too much of enmity. How do I clean myself? How do I take it out? Say, put the picture of Jannah in front of you. Just that one narration where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his Sahabi radiallahu an, if you can sleep at night and in your heart there is no ill feelings for anyone, he said, then do this. Because this is from my sunnah, and the one who will hold on to my sunnah will be with me in Jannah. Otherwise it's very hard to take out this. I can't see the other one getting one better. That one did me down. How will I ever forgive that person? Can I ever forget what that man done? But when you have a picture of Jannah in front of you, you can look at the person who brought you down. When we went to Afghanistan, I asked the person, what was the hardest after the conquest? Because you people brought down the superpower of the time. But now what was after that difficult? He said, the most difficult thing after that was when we went into the businesses and we went into the offices. And from the Imara side, the command came that whoever worked from the previous government, whoever worked for the previous government, we will not remove them from their jobs. We will continue paying them whatever they were getting paid previously. We will make sure they get their money even before, whereas the previous government would delay in payment. He said, we were put on positions higher than them. But they were left in their positions. And they were told they will get paid, and we were told y'all will get paid the day the Imara has money. So the one that fought for the country is not getting paid. The one that fought against, they are getting paid. He said, the first few weeks were so difficult, you walking into the office, and I have to look and smile at that one who was responsible perhaps for the death of my own child. Or because of him, I went to jail for so many years. He was not tortured, I was tortured. He went through no difficulty for 20 years, I went through difficulty. He said, but the command came from the Imara side. He said, the Imara said, meaning the Amir and the discussion, that these are people in the country whose iman level is so low, that if we have to now tell them we're kicking out y'all out of your jobs, they sold their iman to America to get a job. They said it's our responsibility to give them money to make sure they stay with iman. He said, as for you people who fought for so many years, during that time you lived in the mountains with green tea and bread. If you all have to live for another 10 years with green tea and bread, what difference it makes? When I heard that, I said, that level of sacrifice which happened in the era of Sahaba, who knew it will happen in the end of times? Who knew? You will find a nation doing that. Now what made them do that? The picture of Jannah is in front. The one leader said to us, one Chinese man said to him that, give me this contract and I will give you this. I will give you this gift, which we call a bribe. He says, a gift. So the leader said, the contract will be given to who we find is best for the country. We don't take these gifts. The Chinese man then said that in the world without these gifts, nothing can ever happen. So then the leader said, I said to him, I lived in the mountain. I fought against the Russians. Then I came down, then we saw the infighting, I fought again. Then America ended, I went back in the mountains. He said, now I have come out of the mountains. For about 30 years, he said, practically 40 years, but 30 years I was in the mountains. For about 30 years I lived on green tea and whatever bread could find me in the mountain. He said, now that I am of such an age that my death is around the corner, he says, I rather live on green tea till I die. He says, you want me now to spoil the whole thing? Who will ever say a word like that? One man who got the picture of Jannah in front. That I live on green tea. I don't need your gift anymore. That gift is not a small gift. That gift could be in the millions for a man who never saw money. I thought of it at that time. Our country, people just got money when the country changed. They never know how to look after that money. They went wild. They just began stealing. What was the difference between this group and that group? You will say iman. And with iman, we will say the picture of Jannah. That man doesn't want to sacrifice his Jannah. But that picture was painted so well. Imam Nawawi rahimullah, the end of Riyadu Salihin, where he brought the chapter of Jannah, where some people felt it meant that if you do what's in the kitab, there's a hope, inshallah, you will one day see what Allah has prepared for the believers. Others said, what a beautiful ending. It was to say, I know what's mentioned in the kitab is not easy. Nothing is easy on this journey. But if you have to keep the last chapter in mind, and if you have to use it to paint on your mind a picture, everything will become easy. Ikhlas will be easy. Because you say, when Allah is going to give so much, I don't want to spoil it now. Sacrificing for others will become easy. Standing up in salah will become easy. Turning your life eye away from this world will become easy. Everything will be, if your mind can be on what's coming in the world that's coming after. As for the end of Mishkat, it was also known as Husn-e-Ikhtitam.
What a beautiful ending. But this ending had to do with, the author was going to mention what was going to happen at the end of times. So a beautiful ending of the kitab to show that this ummah got a very long span. But the time will come which we'll call the end of times. This chapter was to indicate towards the end of times. And that is known as Husna Ikhtitam. That a day will come where we will be sitting, and that's who we are now. We have reached what is known as the end of times. And at the end of times you will be reading the end of a kitab. Beautiful ending. And in the end of the kitab it will be telling you what's going to happen at the end of times. The first thing it's going to tell you, that normally when you say, now I reached the end, then at the end there will always be people who will cry. This happened in the beginning of, in the middle of this ummah, which this narration will explain. There were times where the people in the ummah would cry, and they would say, there's absolutely no hope left for the ummah. There's no hope. And obviously if it has to happen at any time, it will happen most at the end of times. Because at the end of times is where the evil will reach its heights. So you will at that time cry and say, I wish the Sahaba were here. I wish the Sahaba. Because who is going to ever save Al-Aqsa? Who will ever break the world of kufr? Who will stand up to the efforts, errors of the time? I wish a Nabi could come. I wish I was in the era of Sahaba, because in my era, where will we ever find someone who can really do something? Me and you look at each other and we say, we are the weakest of all. But if you have to travel in the Muslim world at the moment, and you have to see the amount of awakening, you will understand the value of this final chapter of Mishkan. That way Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't ever underestimate my ummah, especially the last part of my ummah. The world at the moment has only seen one country which we call Gaza. In Gaza they have only seen one army which we call Hamas. This one Hamas army has shocked the entire world. In Afghanistan, they defeated the power, superpower, wealthiest superpower of the world. The only thing was, the world never saw it. That attachment to what was called the war with the media, they never had. They mentioned to us, in Afghanistan, the most that they had was one fighter who had studied in Pakistan, and he knew how to connect radios. So he would look for mountains where he had a good signal. And from there he would put up his radio system. And he would start then mentioning what's happening on the ground. That news never reached us also. CNN, BBC, Fox, the world never saw it. But that little news which was just going into small areas was breaking America so much. They said they never understood the power of the war, the media war. Until they saw wherever he was going, one person, with his one contraption, gadget, putting it up, playing games, not even getting a clear signal. They said wherever he was going with his radio, they were noticing America was trying to track where that signal is coming from. Bombing would take place in that mountain region. They never know where he is in the mountains. You'll understand that if you are by those mountains, you can't go to those places. And those mountains, you can't really see where to bomb. But they would go searching for signal. He said, then we understood more deadly than what the bombs were doing was this one boy's news to the world that we're winning the war. Such a small amount was given. Today where Hamas took the war on two fronts, one is the war of media. That is causing more havoc to the shaitani world than any other. The whole world today is now seeing so many non-Muslims in this last 20 days have accepted Islam. They never thought it's going to happen. Muslims have themselves got shocked. When the battle started, perhaps the first bayan that I gave when it just started and then I went out, was don't underestimate. Some people feel Israel is a superpower. How will they ever defeat Israel? In those 40 days, they really showed the world what they can do. This narration is a unique narration. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the wording, you'll understand the shan of ahadith. He said, abshiru wa abshiru. Just give glad tidings. Look at that word. When you give glad tidings. You give glad tidings when people have lost hope. They said, now there's no way the ummah is going to stand. He said, abshiru wa abshiru. Don't ever say there's no way. It's only hope for the ummah. Innama mathalu ummati mathalul ghayth. The example of my ummah is the example of rain. La yudra akhiruhu khayrun am awwaluhu. You will never understand when you will see the results of the ending. When you will see the ending, you will say, were they amazing or are you amazing? That's the meaning of this narration. Otherwise, the whole ummah has united. No one already what Hamas has done. Who followed already what Hamas has done. Whoever they followed Lebanon, well, if you his president, start out his turban, all if you had to be in Afghanistan, you will never fall down and cross your knees. People will say, I will never be such. But I never of them will see such people. And you will who of an unfortunate moment in that 20 hours who sleep made 4 hours free. Umma 20 years he has offered himself free for his amma. Suppose you only took away Ami is a man, Ami supposed to say the bulk over, give me country. I'm the Amir, I have a boss, give me a mass. Does not have not a house, but he got mud house, he does not build bricks. Is that I have then he son that says that I have that was Muslim and conscience of every man, Muslim child in the man, and I hold the of like the world worried. It is like how a worry of her own children. It is not the Amir has made himself open. He gets the message, the Amir has made himself open. So the message reaches him, so and so woman in a certain village. I only understood it when we visit the villages. Villages are very, very, very far. To get there is hours and hours. That woman is not giving birth. Difficulty in birth. She needs a doctor, she needs a hospital, a helicopter is sent. The Amir phones the governor, get a helicopter. Helicopter is sent into the village. Now they get the woman, they need to take her to the closest hospital by helicopter. The weather is not good, the pilot cannot take off. The Amir is saying, what's happening, what's happening? He says, in the ending, this woman gave birth there. We put up a tent right near the helicopter, waiting for the thing to take off, it couldn't. She gave birth. He said, it must have been about 2:30 in the morning. So I liked his sentence. He said this here. He said, the pilot was not allowed to sleep. He says, I, the governor, was not allowed to sleep. The secretary of the Amir was not allowed to sleep. The Amir was not allowed to sleep. He said, 4 people remained awake until the woman gave birth. He said, have you ever heard of that day in the past? That Amir supposed to say, I got so much to worry about. I got to worry about one auntie. He said that Amir, his secretary, the governor, the pilot, 4 people remained waiting for this woman to give birth. He said, when you will see this, you will wonder that is the end of this ummah unique or is it the beginning? We are now going to see in the next few years, you are already seeing it. Armies in the Muslim world are now standing. People who have no relationship at all with this world. People for them to say, death for me is something beloved. I met a person whose friends were all martyred in a certain battle. He was not allowed to go for the battle. Because he had a toothache on that day. So according to how we will talk, I said to him that your tooth saved you. Your tooth saved you because every one of his jamaat passed away. He never go for that battle. I said, your tooth saved you. Immediately turned my sentence around and he was not like smiling when he said it. He said, because of my tooth, I was kept back. Because of my tooth, I was kept back. He said, the dream which my friends got is a dream I still have to realize. Amazing people. When you will see them, you will think of the meaning, abshiru, abshiru. Don't ever lose hope in the uniqueness of my ummah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can my ummah ever be destroyed? كَيْفَ تَحْلِكُ أُمَّةٌ. A nation where I started it, and Nabi Isa alayhi salam will end it. He said, where will this nation ever find? He said, yes, in between. بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ فَيْجٌ أَعْوَجٌ. In between you will find an army that's not so straight. That in between era. Another narration spoke about a time will come in the ummah. Well, there will be a time of Jabariyah. Ulama have explained the time of Jabariyah started when the Khilafah fell. Jabariyah, where puppets were put to force their government and their rule on people. After the Jabariyah era, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then Allah will then establish the Khilafah. The era of Jabariyah has already now pulled for 100 years from the time of the Khilafah falling. And it is the nature of Almighty Allah that at the turn of the century revolution, at the turn of the century, we are now finding a time where things have changed in the Muslim world. Some will say Gaza or the battle of Israel on Gaza started it all. This is a unique turning point for the Ummah. Why I started the chapter of intention, Nawat, who is ready to plant. There were people in the past planted in the ground. There were people in the past that planted it and planted it well. They created the warriors, the men of the past. Oh, my mothers and my sisters, you will have to be the woman who will create the masters and the warriors of the future. But for that day, you will have to be ready to plant the seed. Planting the seed does not just say, I wish. Perhaps a time might come where your own child will have to say, oh, my mother, can I go? It will be very hard for a father to say yes or no. It is the mother. It will be the mother who will have to talk like the woman of the past. I mentioned this incident in many bayans when I came back from Afghanistan. But then I wanted the incident on paper, so now recently the scholar sent it to me. It's a very long incident, I don't have time to go into the details of it, a very long, but the crux of the ending of it was, where that woman said to her husband, that you will not be allowed to now spend time with me, have relations with me, until you will plant the flag in Al-Aqsa. So he leaves the house. She has a child. They mention the name of the child. The actual incident is about the child, but it's too long the incident. When the child grows up, how he grows up, how he's taken to Medina Munawwara, looked after in Medina Munawwara. His father's best friend takes him because last wasiyat to the friend was. So this man goes. He reaches there. He is from the land of Sham. When he reaches there, another man from Medina Munawwara reaches same time. So the two of them become very close in the army of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. Then a message comes from this man's wife's neighbor's husband that your wife is not well, so my wife has taken her into her house. When his wife writes a letter to him, she says, don't worry about anything, this woman is looking after me very well. He says, but looking at that letter makes him already shiver. He says, my wife would never have allowed another woman to look after her. Except that she's so ill, she can't do anything. But his wife's letter is, don't worry about me, she's looking after me very well. Which means, for him it meant my wife is extremely sick. So he takes off immediately. He leaves. He comes. He goes to see his wife. First thing she asks him, what are you doing here? He says, how could I leave you? She says, I will not allow you. You will not even sit. As long as the flag is not planted in Aqsa, why are you worried about me? He goes back, same time he goes back. Same time. Amazing woman she must have been. She said, I will not allow you, go. She says, you will bring me the khush khabri that Aqsa has been conquered and you have placed the flag there. You will bring that glad tidings to me. She said, do you promise me that? So it's a very unique incident because now the final fight was taking long. And she was not well. And he's becoming edgy. His friend finally says to him that my wife actually wrote your wife, it might pass away. I think you just go. He said, I went already, she sent me back. She's not going to let me enter. He says, when he's edgy now, so his friend who was very close to Salahuddin al-Ayyubi said to him, I was in the tent. And Sultan Salahuddin mentioned that we're going to launch the attack tomorrow. He said, we're going to launch it tomorrow. You are so happy. Launch it tomorrow. Waiting. And then he made that. Salahuddin Alayyubi, as he saw him launching that attack, he even said that if this man comes out, I will make him a governor. And then when he looked again, and this man is just continuing. He said, and if this man comes out, I will give him this of mine, and I will give him that of mine, I will give him my horse. He was amazed at this man, how he was moving, like, to get into that place. He just wanted to get in. Finally, there was victory. Salahuddin Alayyubi said, bring this man. And I promise him that you are now the governor of this era. And you will take this of mine and this of mine. And that man looks at him and says, that I don't think I will manage, like, I got a few minutes left. So his friend says that, but do you not want that the basharat must reach your wife? He says, please take the basharat. He says, take the basharat, but if you find my wife alive, then give her the basharat. And if you find that she already passed away, he says, why are you saying that? He says, because I'm seeing her. He says, I'm seeing her saying that you fulfill your promise. So he says, but I don't know if she passed away. So take the basharat. So if she's alive, give it to her. But if she's not alive, then I make wasiyah that you look after my son. So that is why this man then, when he goes back, he finds the son. And he takes the son to Medina Munawwara with him. So the whole incident is about the son really. That when the son grows up. But that beginning incident was too unique. Now who was that mother? It had to be a mother who was ready to plant a seed. But it was not just that the seed will stay on the table. If I have to put it in the ground, she had to put it. You will be that mother one day, if already from now you can say, I will do it. There were people who passed away, and when the news was brought to their mothers, they had one sentence. He said, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ أَعْدَدْتُ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ أَعْدَدْتُ I prepared him for this day. That was the sentence. In the era of Musaylama Kadhab, the one who passed away, and Musaylama really tortured him and cut his body into pieces, when the news reached his mother, she said, I prepared him for this day. I prepared him. There were women later on in Tariq who said, I gave birth to him for this purpose. I gave birth to him for this purpose. But the people, when they hear about Abshiru, Abshiru, the end of my ummah will be unique, then sometimes we think about the men. And we think about the fighters. And we say, what fighters there will be? I brought it to explain to you, I'm making a khatam of Mishkat, not for men. When Mishkat came to the men of the Ummah and told them, you have to be unique, you are at the end of times. Mishkatul Masabih came to the women of this Ummah to say, you are also at the end of the Ummah. You can also be from this unique reign. That when people will one day see you, they will wonder, that was there ever anyone better than you? La yudra akhiruhu khayrun am awwaluhu. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala make this khatam and the message that I have given you in this khatam. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala make it. It is a dream that must come true. The last, second last narration, or third last narration of this kitab. إِذَا فَسَدَ أَهْلُ الشَّامِ فَلَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ When the people of Sham will be spoilt, there will be no goodness in you at all. That era happened when the Khilafat fell. The land of Sham was bought off, was sold, was filled with hypocrites. فَلَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ At that time the world had no goodness left in it. Islam collapsed in manners you cannot imagine in that last. We were not born, so you will not understand what happened in Sham. There was open irtidad. The Arabs were shy to be known as a Muslim. Open irtidad in the lands of Sham. Sheikh Ahmed Dirat of South Africa became famous in the Arab lands. That many Arabs said, had it not been for his jokes regarding Christianity, I was ready to become a Christian. So many Arabs he saved from irtidad. It was such a time that I rather be a Christian, I rather be a non-Muslim, to be a Muslim in the land of Sham. فَلَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ 100 years, we passed that era. Now in the lands of Sham, young boys around the world, everyone was phoning me now. They're just telling me, you know someone called Abu Ubaidah? That word Abu Ubaidah, one name became famous. Everyone is desirous now. How they want to show the flag, how they want to stand up. The next part of the narration was to say, Sham, even when Sham collapses, Sham is sold out, Sham is bought off, and there's no good in the ummah, even then, don't ever lose hope. وَلَا يَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي. There will continuously be a group of my ummah, Mansurin, who Almighty Allah will help. When people are looking at now the battle or the bombing in Gaza, and they are wondering, will the people of Gaza survive? I am saying, for the last 100 years, I do not understand how they survived. لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ. The world left them for 100 years. And it did not harm them. Now the whole world is with them. For 100 years, the world left them. After the fall of the Khilafah, nothing but the help of Almighty Allah saved this area called Gaza. Abu al-Hassan Ali Nadwi, rahimullah, Qali Muhammad Tayyab Sahib rahimullah says, when I went at that time to Egypt, it was 1940. At that time I saw they brought us and we could see the tents of the Israeli zalims on the foot of Gaza, not knowing now how many days are left and they will conquer Gaza. 1940s he saw them at the foot of Gaza. How many years have passed, they still stuck at the foot of Gaza. They were left by the entire world. The world of Sham became fasid, corrupt, rotten. No goodness was left at all in the ummah. فَلَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ. That kum has one meaning, you ummah. Second meaning, you O Arabs. That in you O Arabs there will be no goodness. You will see the people of Sham dying. And you won't even bother. That happened in this 100 years. Now we reach the end of this 100 years. Allah has now made an awakening. Now the Arabs are worried. The Arabs are crying. The Arabs have woken up. The entire scene has changed. We are seeing the beginning of the rise of flags. Almighty Allah will definitely now be selecting those who will lift up the flags in the next era. May Allah tabarak ta'ala, let us not be those who do not plant the seeds. You will have to plant the seed yourself by continuously making dua for shahada. For Almighty Allah, on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised, whoever will ask Almighty Allah for martyrdom with sincerity, Almighty Allah will make him reach the highest levels of the martyr, even if he has to die at home. But you will have to start this. Start it on the tongue and push it into the heart. We need the seed to be planted. Death must become enjoyable for all of us. To die for our Allah, to live for our Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati. My salah, Allah, for you, definite. My every sacrifice, Allah, for you, my qurbani, definite. Then he says, my living for you, Allah, that's there. He said, my dying must be for you, Allah. May Allah tabarak ta'ala allow every one of us, our dying is for the deen of Almighty Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.